And thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Julie, for that good song. I appreciate it so much. Sherry and Andy were in the early service this morning, and she sang for that service, and then again for this service. I was kind of hoping that Andy would stay twice. In fact, I told him he needed to come to the altar today, and I was hoping he'd just come to the altar at the first service and just stay all the way through right here. Maybe he'd be right by the end of the service, but his wife kind of makes up for his shortcomings, but we appreciate that good song. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and verse number 6. We'll begin reading this morning, Malachi, chapter 3, and verse 6. This month, you can come to the altar if you'd like to now, Brother Ian. He stuck his head in there. He heard me talking. Malachi chapter 3. We've been talking this month about stewardship and our finances. The Bible has much to say about money, more than most of the other subjects in the Bible. And we want to continue that study today in Malachi 3 and verse number 6. Verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Sometimes people will say, when you talk about tithing, they'll say, well, that's in the Old Testament. That's not for us today. And the Lord's getting ready to give us a command in verse 10 about tithing. And right before that, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. So I agree it's in the Old Testament, but the Lord hasn't changed. It's still in the New Testament, too. And so he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So here are some people that are away from God. And God says, you need to come back to me. You need to return. And they said, wherein shall we return? And the Lord said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And we've talked about the storehouse. We bring our tithes to the storehouse. It is God's house. He says that there may be meat in mine house. The purpose of the tithe is to provide for the needs of the storehouse or the local church. Mine house, that God says. You don't designate your tithe. You bring your tithes to take care of the needs of the local church. He talks about tithes and offerings back in verse 8. The offerings are what we give above that for missions, for building fund, for various other things, Bibles and so forth that we do. So he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall destroy the fruits. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, notice this in verse 14, he says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? You ever hear somebody say, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. What good is it? That's sort of what these people were saying. They were saying it's vain to serve God. Where's all these blessings you're talking about? What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance? You know, if God never did another thing for us in our life, the fact that he saved us from hell and gave us heaven's worth everything, isn't it? In verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And I like this. It says, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again for the wonderful words of life, for the word of God, and for the privilege that we have once again to open and read and study and preach your word. And I pray that you'll help us in these few moments again that we have today to yield our lives to you and to allow you to speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. May we be sensitive and submissive, and may we be obedient. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we look at the blessings of tithing, that we would have the privilege of enjoying in our life all the blessings that you have in store for us. May we not miss out on them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The blessings of tithing. Some notes on the back of your bulletin if you want to fill them out as you go along. As we study stewardship each year and take this month of January, we always have several goals. First of all, we want to help you get out of debt. One of the most important things for Christians and for anybody, but especially for us as Christians, is get out of debt. Don't spend more than what you take in and purpose and work on getting out of debt. I think one of the big things we're going to face in the years ahead because of what our country has done and our government is we're going to face some inflation and some interest rates that are going to be, I think, unreal. And so we got to get out of debt. That's the best thing you can do. Secondly, help build financial strongholds. The Bible says that a wise man uses his riches as a tool to build strongholds to protect himself and his family in these days and in the days ahead. We look for Jesus Christ to come. We ought to expect him to come every day. We ought to be looking for him to come. At the same time, we prepare and plan for the future because the Lord may not come today. I believe he's going to come in my lifetime and I'm looking for him and be fine with me. And I hope he comes today. Won't interrupt any of my plans. It won't upset me. I'd love to see the Lord, the trumpet sound and go home to heaven and be with him today. It'd be a wonderful thing. But God wants us to build up financial strongholds. That's not to hoard up and so forth. And we've talked about that. Thirdly, to help you lay up treasures in heaven by investing in and building the kingdom of God. We're investing in and building the kingdom of God. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, just before he went back to heaven, in Matthew 28, he said, "All power is given unto me. Therefore, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." The Lord gave the Great Commission. His commission to us before he left was to go and win people to Christ, baptize them and disciple them. And that's our job. But we can't do that without money. It takes money to take the gospel and to reach people. And so God needs his people to be involved in financing the Great Commission. And then number four, to help us see the windows of heaven open. We're going to talk about that this morning. And number five, help experience the rebuking of the devourer. So what are the blessings to the tither? The Lord said, "I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing." What are the blessings? What do I receive if I tithe? What do I miss out on if I'm not a tither? First of all, the first blessing, God promises to open the windows of heaven. He promises to open the windows of heaven. Look at verse number 10 with me, if you will. He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." God says, "I want you to prove me. Put me to the test. Check me out. See if it works. I double dog dare you. Put me to the test. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven." Now, what does that mean? God's going to open the windows of heaven. Everybody here probably has in their home windows. We have windows in our home, but windows are not usually for the purpose of pouring in or pouring out. In fact, when it rains, we don't say, "Hey, quick, go open the windows so that we can have some rain pour in." No. We usually close the windows if they're open when it rains. We don't want the rain to come in and damage the things that are inside. I believe that windows in our house are for the purpose for us to see out. It is for us to be able to look at another dimension, to see what's on the outside, to give to us a different perspective than what we get inside, confined inside the four walls of our house. When you look at the windows, you might see another perspective of life. There's something beyond the confines of where we live. God is saying to us, I would like to open up the windows of your life so that you can have a perception or an insight to something beyond the four walls of your home, of your life, of the area in which you live and in which you're confined. The songwriter put it like this. He said, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. God gives us insight into things that the normal person doesn't have. Now, the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 is seeing what God wants us to see and seeing what God wants us to do. And if you study the lives of the different people there, God told them certain things to do. First, he let them have a vision of what he wanted them to do, just like Noah building the ark. God told him what the ark was and how to do it, and then what God wanted him to do with it. And that's faith. We see what God wants us to do, and we see what God wants us to be. And as we see that, you know, it's sad. There are many people that in seeing don't really see. There are many people that somehow they miss out on what God has for them and what God wants them to see. You can be in a church service and God can be tugging at your heart and speaking to you and moving, and you feel the Spirit of God moving in your heart, and sometimes the tears are running down your face and God's working in your life, and you look at the guy next to you and he's sound asleep, you know. What's the difference? Well, it may be somebody has the windows open and somebody doesn't. Now, it might be that somebody worked all night long the night before, too. That's not the only reason. There are different reasons for it. But one of the reasons is God says, as tithers, when we give to the Lord and we're faithful in bringing our tithe, God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll let you see some things that other people aren't going to see and understand and know. I'm going to give to you a perception that others do not have. Now, there's a second thing in verse number 10 that he tells us that he promises. He promises to open the windows of heaven. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Now, notice this. And pour you out a blessing. So he says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I'm going to give you some perception and perceptive vision and insight into things that others do not have. And he says, I'm also going to pour out a blessing upon you. Now, what is this word blessing? What's God talking about? Most of us have the idea, if I tithe, God's going to give me more money. And if I'm faithful enough in tithing, he's going to give me more money than I can spend. And that's our concept of this promise. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. God says, I'll pour you out a blessing. The word blessing, our English word blessing, means benediction. It speaks of the closing blessing. It is like the grand finale. It is the ending. What God is saying here is that what he starts, when he starts a blessing in our life, he wants to see it through to the finish. God wants to complete that blessing. Many of us have started running a good race, but we haven't finished that race yet. We still have some running to do for the Lord. We still have some unfinished business in our life. But a lot of times, if we aren't careful, we have starts and we don't have any finishes. We don't complete the things that God wants us to do. And one of the reasons that we don't have those finishes is because we're not faithful in this matter of tithing, and we're missing out. Either we're not tithing, or we're doing it wrongly, or we haven't been faithful and consistent in it. And consequently, we don't have those blessings of God that are poured out upon us. God says, I want to start a blessing, but I want to run it all the way through your life till the end of your life. That's why the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. He is the one who starts the blessing and sees it all the way to the finish. Let me give you an example. My marriage. I want to end my marriage as faithfully as I started my marriage. Amen. Back in 1975, I made some vows and commitments to my wife that I want to see to that I finish it all the way through to the end. I want the blessings of God that he gives to me now to be seen all the way through to the end. Go back with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. We'll come back to Malachi, but I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 28. And the Lord talks about this matter of blessing in verse number 10. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 10. And the Lord is talking to Jacob. Jacob, if you remember, he tricked his father into giving him the blessing, and he disguised himself as Esau and went out and got the meat and fixed it. And, And with the help of his mother, they deceived Jacob, or deceived Isaac, so that he gave the blessing to Jacob and not to Esau. And Jacob was dying, and so remember, Esau said, after dad's dead and we've buried him, then I'm going to go find Jacob and I'm going to kill him. And so Jacob had to flee. He had to run for his life. And you come down to that in verse number 10 of Genesis 28. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He's leaving where he lives. He's going back to Haran. Haran is the land where his mother grew up and where her relatives live. And he lighted upon a certain place, verse number 11, and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of. Now, here is Jacob, and he is having to leave the land of his mother and father. And God says to Jacob, I'm going to fulfill this promise for you. In other words, I'm going to finish it. He said, I'm going to take you out of this land, but I'm going to bring you back into this land again. I'm going to start something here and take you over there, and I'm going to finish it. I'm going to bring you back to where you are now. And so God promised a blessing to him. Now, I want to remind you that all of this is taking place before you get to Exodus, when God gives what we call the law, the Ten Commandments and all the law that goes with it. Now, look at verse number 16. He goes on in verse 16 and it says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Well, that's a tragic thing, isn't it? For the Lord to be there and not know it. And Jacob said, the Lord was here and I knew it not. And he was afraid. And he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? And then he said, it's the house of God and it's the gate of heaven. Now, house of God, you'll see a little bit later on, he talks about the name of this place being Bethel. The Hebrew word El is God. Beth is house. So it's the house of God. So he calls this place the house of God. And he says that this is the gate of heaven. Now, what do you do with gates? You open them and you close them, don't you? They're so you go in and you can go out. And Jacob is saying here, he's saying, I saw the gate of heaven open. I saw a dimension that I have never seen before. He said he saw the ladder. He saw the angels ascending and descending. He had insights given to him that he had never had before. He had a perception that he had never realized before. God showed him something that he had never understood and never seen before. I know people today that have never figured out yet who they are, why they're here, or where they're going. They haven't figured that out. A lot of people are caught up with that in this world. Why are we here on this earth? Where did we come from? Where are we going? I'm so glad we got a book that tells us the answer to all of that. Amen. We know why we're here. We know where we came from. We know where we're going when we leave this world. But God was saying to Jacob, Jacob, I want to show you who you are. And I want to show you where you're going. And I want to show you what you're supposed to do when you go there. And so God gave to Jacob some insights that he had never seen before. Now, how did he get these insights? How did he get this blessing? Look back at verse 18, Genesis 28 again. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now, God had just told him that he was going to do that, didn't he? And Jacob believed the word of God, and he said, if God will do this, then he will be my God. Now look at verse 22. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee what? Tenth unto thee. Jacob said, of all that God gives to me, he was saying, God, I promise you, I have nothing now. He had ran away from home. He didn't even have a pillar to lay his head on. He had to gather the stones up to use for a pillar. He didn't even have a pillar. And he said, I'm going back to where my mama's family came from. And God, if you'll go with me and if you'll give me food to eat and clothes to wear and if you'll bring me back, he said, you will be my God. And if you'll do that for me, I promise you, Lord, I'll give you the tenth. I'll give you the tithe of all that you give me. And that's why the windows of heaven were open to Jacob. God gave him insights because he made a commitment to God. And later on, Jacob saw himself as to who he really was. He was no longer Jacob, the shyster, the conniver, the trickster. God changed his name to Israel, which means a prince with God. And he was captain of the whole nation of Israel. Jacob was saying here, God allowed me to see who I really was. And I saw God's destiny for me. And Jacob made a commitment. He said, I'll give a tenth of all that I have to you. You see, God's blessings are on tithers. And God promises his blessings. The windows of heaven are open to tithers. The windows of heaven are the perception that God gives to us to see what others do not see, to see what non-tithers do not see. Have you ever taught somebody in a Sunday school lesson or a Bible study or something, and you went through the lesson and they looked at you and they said, I just don't get it. And you've said to them, what do you mean you don't get it? It's right there in black and white. Can't you see it? It may be the reason you get it and they don't. It may be that they're a non-tither. God hasn't opened the windows of heaven for them to see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Lord said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds. And we think of that, and it is speaking of the lost people. Before a person gets saved and God opens their eyes, their mind is blind. But many times after we get saved and he gives us the light of the gospel, the light, as far as many other truths are concerned, are not there. We're not living in the blessing of God because we're not tithing and we're not obeying God. The windows are shut. The blinds are pulled. We don't get that insight, that perception that God wants to give to us. Now go back to Malachi again, chapter 3 and verse 10. And the Lord says something else there in that verse. He says, I will pour you out. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now notice this, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, I want to bless you so much that you don't have the capacity to receive all of that blessing. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob had nothing. He left home. He didn't even have a pillar to lay his head on. He went to his uncle Laban's house, and Laban turned out to be a bigger hustler than Jacob was. When you finish the story, you find that at the end of the story, Jacob left as a wealthy man, and Laban had been taken to the cleaners. How did that happen? God shows tithers some things that he doesn't show to other people. And God allowed Jacob to know how to make money and how to make an income and how to bless his crops and his herds and so forth. God blessed him. Why? Because he made a commitment to God to be a tither. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 1, almost to the end of the Bible. And the Lord talks about this matter of blessing again. In Hebrews chapter 7. He gives to us some very important truths there. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. So first verse, number 1, who blesses who? Melchizedek blesses Abraham, right? All right, now look at verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and Abraham in turn gave a tenth of all he had to Melchizedek. Now read on. It says, first being interpreted, king of righteousness. He's talking about Melchizedek. Melchizedek is called the king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Who is this Melchizedek that he's talking about? There's only one person I know of that's without descent, that is without mother or father, that has neither beginning of days nor end of life. I believe that Melchizedek in the Old Testament is an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham pays tithes to Melchizedek. He's paying tithe to the Lord God himself. Now, look at verse number 9 with me of Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 9 and 10. It says, and as I may so say, Levi also receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. God says that Levi paid tithes in Abraham when Abraham met Melchizedek. Now let me give you a little genealogy lesson here, if I can. Abraham is the first generation. Then you have Isaac, the second generation. And then you have Jacob, the third generation. And then Jacob has his 12 sons who become the 12 leaders, the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those is Levi. So you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi. You have the blessings of God that are flowing down to four generations. Levi became the priest of the Most High God, and he was of the fourth generation. And he has received a generation. He received a generation four, or a blessing four generations later, a blessing from his great grandfather. Now, why would God pour out a blessing on Abraham so great that he couldn't receive it? It went all the way down to four generations. Because God said, if you and I are faithful in this matter of tithing, God opens the windows of heaven, then he pours out a blessing so great on us that it goes on to our sons and our grandsons and our great-grandsons. The blessing is so great that we can't contain it ourselves. If you're a mom and dad, you ought to stand up and shout and praise God this morning, because you have the privilege of being a blessing to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, because you're a tither to God. Now go back with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We know the 20th chapter because that's where the Lord gives to us the Ten Commandments. And in the midst of giving those Ten Commandments, the Lord said something in verse number 4, or verse 5. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. He says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. He's talking about false gods, false idols. Three times in the Bible it uses the phrase, thou shalt not bow down to them. God says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Notice this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the what? Third and fourth generation. God says that if we disobey God, if we bow down, if we serve false gods, he'll visit the iniquity all the way to the third and fourth generation. Now look at verse number 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that what? Love me and keep my commandments. You see, you and I have the opportunity of passing on the blessing. We can either pass on the curse or we can pass on the blessing. It's our choice. And God says, if you'll live for me and if you'll be faithful in this matter of tithing, I'm going to bless you so much, and it can go on to the children and to the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And what a privilege it is to pass it on. One generation can pass it on, or one generation can cut it off. You know the interesting thing the Lord says? You go back to Malachi, and we'll get back there in a minute, but he said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. It's going to go all the way down to the fourth generation. But before he gave that, he said, he talked about the people being cursed by God. See, we have a choice. It's not a matter of tithing or not tithing. It's a matter of tithing and being blessed or not tithing and being cursed. Amen? I don't want the curse of God on my life. I want the blessing of God on my life. And so God says we have the privilege to pass that on. Your children may be struggling with spiritual battles and may be struggling with victory in their life because you are not faithful in the matter of tithing. You pray for your children. You ask God to help them to turn out right. And you ask them God to help them to live right. But God said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. As I'm praying for my children, I'm asking God to help them to turn out right and live right and do right. But I'm not tithing and obeying God. God says there's iniquity in my heart and God can't even hear my prayer. So if I want to pass that blessing on, I've got to meet the requirements of being faithful in this matter of tithing. Go over to the New Testament with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verses 2 and 3 down through verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verse number 2. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says in verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now notice verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. Paul said, Timothy, the blessings you got now, it goes back to Grandma. And Grandma taught it to your daughter, and she taught it to you. And it's been passed down from that generation, from one generation to another generation. In this case, three generations. My dad was a pastor for many years before he went to heaven, and Dad was a faithful preacher of the gospel and a faithful tither in his life. And Dad passed that on to me. And I'm the second generation. His dad became a Christian after my dad got saved. They all were involved in the Church of Christ. And Dad was a Sunday school teacher and a youth director. But he was not saved. He was taught in the Church of Christ that if he got baptized, that took care of everything. And since he was baptized, as far as they were concerned, everything was okay. And one night in a revival meeting, in a tent revival meeting there in Pennsylvania, Dad heard an evangelist preach and he realized that it wasn't the baptism that washed away his sins. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And that night he didn't go forward. He left that night and he couldn't sleep and he got saved, got down on his knees by his bed that night and got saved. And then his whole family, they wanted to leave. And Dad said, no, you don't leave until you see it. When God shows it to you, then you leave. And eventually they all left and they got saved. So my dad got saved and kind of backflowed the blessing to his father and his dad and mom got saved. But for me, from my dad to me, and then I have had the opportunity to pass it on to my children, and they pass it on to their children. God says he'll bless to the third and fourth generation. What a privilege we have to be a blessing. Even today, I can be a blessing to my grandchildren and to my great-grandchildren. So God promises to open the windows of heaven. God promises to pour out a blessing. There's a third thing that God promises, and that is God promises to rebuke the devourer. If you look back at verse number 11, and our time's getting away from us, and we've got to hurry. Look back at Malachi chapter 3, verse number 11. And the Lord says to us that we bring our tithes into the storehouse. He opens the windows of heaven. He pours out a blessing. And then he says in verse number 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The word rebuke means to scold or to chide. God says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Now, he doesn't say that he will stop the devourer. Okay? All of us have bad things that happen to us, right? None of us are exempt. So God doesn't say, I'll stop the devourer. You'll never have anything bad. But he says, I'll rebuke the devourer. And he promises us that he will do that. Do you ever notice that there's some people that no matter what they do, they just can't get ahead. They take one step forward and it's like seven steps backward. You know, they get a pay raise and the transmission goes out in the car. Or they get a promotion and they find out the house has termites. You know, just everything. They can't get ahead. God says that if we will honor Him in this thing of our tithes and offerings, He will rebuke the devourer. Go back a few pages. You have before Malachi, you have the book of Haggai, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi. So just back a few pages. Look at Haggai chapter 3 and verse number 7. Well, no, that's not what I want. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Haggai 1, and look at verse number 6. It says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." God says there's some people, they bring their money home, and it's like they put it in a bag that's full of holes. It's gone. Some people say money talks, and I agree. My money talks. It always says bye-bye to me, you know. But these people are putting money in a bag with holes. That's all it's doing. Bye-bye. It's gone. It seems like they can never get ahead. And God promises that if we are faithful in this matter of tithing, He'll rebuke the devourer. You've heard me say oftentimes, everybody tithes. You either give your tithe willfully to the Lord and He blesses you, or the devourer comes and takes it through car repairs, house repairs, medical bills, something else. Everybody tithes one way or the other. But the Lord said, if you'll tithe, I'll rebuke the devourer. Now look back at Malachi chapter 3. I want you to see something. Verse number 7. He says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the," what? "Lord of hosts." Underline those three words. This is God using His name, the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. Look down at verse number 11 now. He says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither your vine shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith," here it is again, "the Lord of hosts." Underline it. The Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts? The word host means army. God is saying, "I am the Lord of all the armies of heaven." And as the host, as the Lord, as the captain of the armies of heaven, God says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." Now that's a pretty good promise, isn't it? God says, "I've got all the armies of heaven behind me to rebuke the devourer, to rebuke the devil, when he tries to take away from you what I've blessed you with." And who does he say he'll do that for? Who are all these armies of heaven helping to rebuke the devourer? They're helping the Lord, who is rebuking the devourer of the person who is faithful in bringing his tithes unto the Lord. So God promises to rebuke the devourer. And then there's a last thing, and that is he promises that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. He'll not destroy the fruit of your ground. Verse number 11 again says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He'll not destroy the fruit of your ground. The word fruit there, the Bible talks about in the parable of the sower and the seed and the ground in Matthew chapter 13. He explains that. And what he's saying here is the devourer is not going to be able to destroy the fruit of our ground, the fruit that we bring forth. He talks about the seed, and we sow the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. And what happens when we sow the Word of God? People get saved, don't they? We plant the seed, and folks come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they get saved, and our heart is tender towards the Lord. And God wants us to know several things. First of all, the tither has a tender heart. How do I get a tender heart instead of a hard heart? Tithe. Be faithful in your tithing. And then the tither's heart is protected from the world and Satan. How can I have my heart protected? God says He'll rebuke the devourer. How's He going to do that? Tithe. Be faithful in your tithing. The songwriter wrote the song, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above." For the tither, God says He seals that heart and gives us that tender heart. And then the tither is not offended. We're not easily offended. The tither doesn't have a wounded spirit. God says in His Word, "Great peace have they that love Thy law, and nothing shall offend thee." When He says, "Great peace have they that love Thy law," the The law represents the word of God, and part of that is this matter of tithing. And so God says that as we're involved in tithing, we're not going to be easily offended. We're not going to wear our feelings on our sleeve or have a chip on our shoulder. We're not going to be offended by everything. Girls, Brianna, look up this way and listen. We're not going to be offended easily because we're faithful in tithing. And then he tells us that tithers have special insights into God's word. We get to see. God opens our heart to receive the word of God. And then the tither is a fruit bearer. We'll bear fruit. We bear the fruit of answered prayers. When we tithe, there's nothing between us and the Lord to hinder. And we can pray and our prayers are answered. There's the fruit of converts. Proverbs 11:30 says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, the love and joy and peace and long-suffering in our life. And then finally in that chapter, God says that he promises the children of tithing parents will reach their potential. The children of tithing parents will reach their potential. Look at verse 11 again. He says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. The vine, what is the vine? In Psalm 128 and verse 3, the Bible says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. In Ezekiel 19 and verse 10, he says, thy mother is like a vine. In Song of Solomon 6 and verse 11, he speaks of the wife as being a vine. The vine is the wife or the mother, and the fruit of the vine is her children. And God says here, when he pours out the blessing and rebukes the devourer, he says, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. In other words, God promises to tithers that their children will reach their full potential. I do not know a better child-rearing promise in the Bible than Malachi 3:10 and 11. God promises to bless our children. If I didn't believe in tithing, I'd still tithe anyway. Because I want to have God's blessings on my life. I want the windows of heaven open. I want a blessing for 3 and 4 generations down the road. I want God to rebuke the devourer. I want him to use all the hosts of heaven to rebuke the devourer that's eating up my paycheck. I want God to protect my heart and keep it safe. I want God to give me insights from his word so that I'm not easily offended. And I want God to not allow the devil to get a hold of my wife. And I want my kids to reach their potential, to reach their full potential for the glory of God. Praise God, I want those blessings in my life. Amen. And I hope you do too. And you can have them. You see, it's not just a matter of, well, should I tithe today or not? My tithing affects 3 and 4 generations, doesn't it? It's not just a matter. And we have the choice. We can either say, God, I'm going to obey you. I want the windows of heaven open. I want your blessings. I'm going to tithe. Or we can say, God, can't afford it this week. There's just no way I can do it. And God says, okay, sorry, you can choose that, but you're going to have the curse instead of the blessing. I think you probably feel the same way I do. I want the blessing. Amen. And we can have it if we're faithful in our tithing. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for your promises. And thank you for so many blessings that come to us as your children as we're faithful in this matter of tithing. It begins by giving ourselves, and there may be someone here today that's never given their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Would you help them to do that today? There may be some Christians who have started out tithing, but they have dropped the ball along the way and they need to return, as Malachi says, and get back to it. There may be some that thought, well, I'll just do a little bit. May they commit to do everything, and may we be faithful in this matter of our tithing. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask you a question or two, and I'm not going to embarrass you or point you out in any way. I wonder how many of you here today can say, Preacher, in this past year, 2009, I have been faithful in my tithing. And this morning, I want to just go on record to say that I'm going to continue to be faithful in my giving, my tithes, and my offerings to the Lord. If that's your commitment, would you just raise your hand as a testimony of that fact? I've been faithful, and by God's grace, I'm going to continue to be faithful. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I wonder how many of you today would say, Preacher, I haven't been faithful. I have tithed some, but I just haven't been faithful like I ought to. And by God's grace, I'm committing today to be faithful through this year. Pray for me this morning. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Thank you. You may put it down. I wonder how many say, preacher, I've never tithed. Maybe you once you gave a little money here or there, but today you say, I want those blessings of God on my life. I don't want His curse. I don't want to disobey Him. I want to tithe and get the blessings. I don't want the devourer to take it. Preacher, I'm committing today, by God's grace, I'm going to start tithing. God will test me, but I'm going to test God. I'm going to prove Him. And I'm going to start, by God's grace, being a tither in this year of 2010. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Just slip it up right where you are. I've not been a tither, but I'm going to start doing it by God's grace. I'm going to start now. God bless you. Yes, thank you. Amen. Father, what an awesome privilege to give to God. Thank you that you give to us, and then we can turn around and give back to you. Lord, we want the windows of heaven open. We want the blessings to the third and fourth generation. We want you to cause our families to be successful and to be used of God. We want those insights. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful in our giving and see your blessings in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.